Hi, everybody. I'm Adam Wiener, and welcome again to this episode of the UroOnc Minute. These are brief updates from the leaders in urologic oncology. We're wrapping up our series here at AUA 26 in Washington, D.C. Thank you all for joining us. And thanks so much. I'm joined here by Dr. Badranath Kaneti. He is the head of the Cancer Center at Allina Health, as well as the chief academic officer. He's also adjunct faculty at the University of Minnesota. Additionally, he was an author on the recent amendment to the prostate cancer screening guidelines from the American Urological Association. And we're going to talk about that topic today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, great to be here. Thank you.
So let's just dive right in. Why don't you give us an idea of what was the focus for the most recent amendment?
The focus was to make sure that we updated we took the updated data on some of the key topics, such as the biopsy route, MRI, and secondary markers, but also to just focus it a little bit more and take away some of the unnecessary extras that were in the previous version of the guideline. So I think we really focused. There was a lot of discussion with new data whether MRI should be a default before the first biopsy. And we do, you know, recognize this growing evidence of the importance and utility of MRI, even in biopsy-naive patients. So we do still say that is a good option. The level of evidence is mounting. There's still a little difference from the European guidelines where they say that is an automatic first step before a biopsy. And in terms of the PSA testing intervals itself, we said you could have shared decision-making in terms of deciding the interval and also when to stop screening.
Yes.
Because as you grow older, yes, you can, but then, you know, biologic age really trumps chronologic age. So you can have older, healthier people with a good life expectancy. So there you may want to have a discussion with those patients. At the other end, we also, there's a lot of data, as you know, that's emerging about transperineal versus transrectal biopsies. And clearly, everybody acknowledges that you have reduced need for the use of antibiotics, reduced risk of sepsis, the transperineal routes. But the data are not all completely aligned. You have some randomized trial data suggesting one way, some suggesting the other way, and some suggesting there's no statistical difference even in the sepsis rates. So we couldn't come down hard on one or the other, but we did recognize and lay out all the data and said the transrectal is still an option. Because we don't want to take anything away and mandate one way.
Yes.
Because not everybody has access and
every practice to change over immediately. Yes, understood.
So that's why we left a little flexibility in that. And then the other thing I want to point out is we also evaluated and updated all the data on secondary markers. And particularly in patients who've had a prior biopsy, I do think using a second level marker test before you proceed with another biopsy may be a good idea. And I think that's what the updated guidelines also indicate.
And what are some of the markers that you think have some of the best evidence in that case?
We've looked at PHI, 4K, and Michigan Prostate Intelligence Score. And there's some newer ones that have a little bit less data, but ISO PSA and so forth. But there's plenty of, so the exosome DX is the other one. So we've looked at all the FDA approved.
And certainly specific to the US, which makes us different from Europe is our access at cost, potentially out of pocket to the MRI, which is, I guess, in my opinion, and probably that of the amendment group, why some of these markers can be critical.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be important. One thing to keep in mind with the MRI, we didn't talk about this as much in the guidelines, is, you know, I think we really need to start looking at biparametric versus multiparametric, because that's shorter duration, less MR time, less cost, and avoids the needless DCE with contrast administration, which if you're doing multiple MRIs in a patient, it can be accumulation. You know, particularly nowadays, there's recognition of accumulation of the brain and other areas.
Yes.
Other considerations.
Really exciting in that regard. And so not in the guideline yet. I can tell you our practice at Cedars has switched to biparametric. We did have to speak with our radiology doctors, but maybe soon to come in a future amendment. I think that's a really important point.
Absolutely. So I think this space is changing so fast.
Yes.
I think we'll have to keep updating these guidelines.
Well, I think that's what's important about these amendments. It's constant reappraisal of the evidence, updating things, but also keeping it in context of the culture and society and economics. And that's what makes it important to discuss, particularly for our American audience.
True. It's absolutely. And it's a changing space, and we have to make sure it's all practical.
So as someone who is a major leader in a healthcare center, Tell me next about education implementation.
That's the critical part. So right now we are not just for prostate cancer, but any kind of screening. We're launching a major initiative, you know, within our health system, which has a dozen or more hospitals. And, you know, we particularly primary care. We need to educate them as to when to order second level tests, when not to.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, there's a push from maybe industry and other partners to say they want to educate them a certain way. But I think they're looking for more guideline-oriented care. And that's where these guidelines are so important, because people believe that a lot of very thoughtful people have carefully considered the data, done robust analyses, and then suggested some of these statements. And I think particularly the AUA guidelines are really good in that sense, because we do a very robust evidence analysis, and we will not go beyond the evidence.
Yeah, that's what's important, right? So we like to wrap up the show for our general urology audience, focusing on where the experts think the field is going or what's going to be important next. So what can you tell to our audience?
I think the context of screening itself for prostate cancer is going to change. I mean, you know, we're still stuck on PSA, but with all these new markers, new imaging modalities, I think that's going to change things. How you're going to find and how frequently you need to apply these is going to change. So there's going to be lots more exciting developments. And now with more genome-wide analysis, you know, we didn't really get into these guidelines with the polygenic risk assessment and so forth.
Yeah.
The PRS is going to be a big deal, I think, as that develops in the future. So more to come.
And
very exciting.
One last question. How do you feel about the rectal exam?
You know, in this guideline, we actually de-stressed it.
Yes.
And really, there's really no real need anymore. But
yes.
People want to do it.
Yes.
Because everybody's like, hey, every once in a while, I found somebody with this nodule, and
yes.
That's how I detected the cancer. So we don't say, you know, it's not obviously, you know, we don't encourage it, but we certainly don't ban it in any sense.
But it's good to have that flexibility,
correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So that you can justify to the patient that's coming through, we don't need to do that. And of course, well, you know, we were in an era where that was kind of a rite of passage. It might have scared patients away from even considering prostate cancer screening or an encounter with the doctor.
Yeah.
So just my opinion, but I think it's valuable. Only in many ways, because you'll have men coming in that are not afraid for that screen.
That's 100% true. I think that's a very, very good point you make. And yeah, so we can't mandate it for sure. I mean,
yes.
I don't think it's mandate, but people want to do it, that's fine.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Dr. Bradridith Kennedy. And thank you for joining us on the Uro-Onc Minute. These are brief updates from the experts in urologic oncology. And everyone have a great rest of your AUA 26.